Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Goo, I love you. You're like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get with Goo.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, it's crossover time, which means Dan Dibley and Mark Willett are in the house. And man, I'll just quick run it down and one of you guys can jump in. San Francisco 49ers rule out Brock Purdy, Ricky Pearsall, Juwan Jennings, Jordan Watkins for tomorrow's game. Jonathan Kuminga signed, sealed, and delivered. Dunleavy talked to the media just moments ago. And then, of course, Buster Posey talked about the Bob Melvin firing and seemed to indicate Bochy was not really in the plans moving forward as a manager. Welcome, guys.
And He more
than seemed to indicate.
Oh.
Bruce Bochy will not be coming back.
Yeah. Willard was there today.
I was hoping that we would have some.
I didn't hear a question, Will.
Yeah, I asked a question.
Let's go to Mark in the back.
Actually, I wanted to all of my brothers and sisters who were in the room, I raised my hand at a certain point because I'm like, are we going to go 9 questions in before someone asks about Boach?
Okay. 9 Lubman questions?
And so finally I looked at
Lubman has to eat. Lubman's awesome.
Finally raised my hand to Chiz so people out there know this is the PR director for the Giants. I'm like, give me the mic. And then he's like, I got you. But then it has to go around the room a little bit. And Tim Kawakami had the mic right before me, and he finally asked it. So then I'm like, all right, I'm all wave it off. Like, hello?
Yeah.
That's the question we all want asked. So TK finally got to it, and
that was my dream for the Giants.
But it was probably the only definitive thing that Buster or Zach said today, which was that Bruce Bochy will not be the manager.
So now I've shifted to, and you guys give me some names if you can, I want the Giants to get their version of a Steven Vogt. Now I wanted Bruce the Jedi and what happened. Give me a name. Is anything out there like a guy like, you know, played the game, young, vibrant?
Yeah, there's tons of those guys. And I think, and maybe we can get an odds maker. Maybe it's Jimmy Shapiro, Mark, who is the offshore guy who sends us all emails.
Yep.
What are the odds on the hire being a catcher versus being a non-catcher?
I like that.
And I think him being a catcher, the next manager, is a huge favorite because most of the managers, or not most, but a lot of them are catchers. Buster was a catcher, Boach, Bob Melvin, Steven Vogt, all the names we throw out. So if you're looking for next manager, you start with younger catchers and you start to move from there, I think.
Yeah, I don't.
Hunley's out there, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Mike Matheny is the guy who's managed.
Mike Matheny.
Yep. Hunley could definitely be a candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he was working under Boach.
Now, how about Ron Wotus, just the guy that's been around?
I think if you were going to hire Ron Wotus, you would probably hire Bruce Bochy. Like, in the press conference, you can't set yourself up for age discrimination, but I very much got the sense when Buster was answering that, I don't think they want to hire somebody.
Yeah. But there's a role for him if he wants.
Yeah. I mean, I Bruce Bochy is always going to be welcome inside Oracle Park. But, I don't think they want to hire someone who's 70. And that's fair, isn't it? You know what I mean?
You want to fire somebody who's 70.
Exactly.
Well, and I did the dive yesterday. The oldest manager ever.
Apparently not deep.
Connie Mack, 86 in his final year. And just a glance at it.
Casey Stengel with a man.
86.
86.
And then he left to be president of the United States after that.
He's been waiting on that. They went on a 13-game road trip in 5 cities. All buses for sure, and the dude's 86.
That's incredible.
Pull over, I gotta use the restroom. 86.
Where are my dentures at?
You look around, Connie Mack, president, whatever. My dad is turning 83 next month.
That's
and
beautiful.
I'm like, it's Tom. Beautiful, yes, but at the same time, I'm like, how are y'all doing anything at that age? Why do you want to?
Dude.
It's bananas.
I thought Jack McKeon, I thought he was up there, but 86.
Yeah, he was 80 LeBron. When he came back.
Okay.
Yeah, he was 80 in his last year.
My pop's like, I got a crossword puzzle done today. That's it. And I ate. Now we're going
you
back
got
to
a
bed.
Scooter going like, to the mound to make the pitching.
Seriously.
What is 80? Like, whoa.
I don't want to be thinking about whether I need to pull the lefty when I'm 83. Like,
hey,
sit down.
You sleep or you out?
Holy crap.
It's the 4 minute.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
We got something for you two.
They're far away.
All right, switch this real quick. It was announced
before
Brock Purdy's not quarterbacking tomorrow. We had the great Ross Tucker on, and he said this to Steiny and got me to thinking, and I can't wait to hear you two. Brock playing last week and now hurt, not playing this week. Here we go. And you might have heard it. It's a bad look for the Niners. You guys say what to that?
What if they would have won? Is it still a bad look for the Niners?
He's over there.
I'm just asking. Yeah. I'm asking, like, the room. And I don't really understand
the
notion.
So it was the result?
No. For me, it was he was healthy enough to play. He played. And so that's the way that went. And he got hurt. Juwan Jennings was also hurt. And he also got hurt, so should they not have played him? Well, no, he had a different injury, and it's football. And Ricky Pearsall
was also hurt.
And he got hurt again.
Okay. And he got hurt again. And now he's going to miss again.
Right. So it's maybe more than a game, and it's football. And, you know, if your quarterback is healthy enough to play, he plays. I mean, for me, it's just that simple.
I thought, and I say this with full respect, I thought you guys were a little unfair to the 49ers today. I don't understand. I don't know how you can define it this way. It's just a little too A to B for me in terms of taking the unknown out of it.
Which is Mac.
Well, but Mac was more hurt. Mac was more hurt, but let's just keep it about your franchise quarterback for a second. Just because something either gets hurt or even re-injured in a football game doesn't definitively say anything about where you were before the game started. If he practices, quite frankly, for almost 2 weeks, pain-free, you play. Sure, anything could get re-injured at any time, and I don't believe that means it's definitive that you rushed him back.
I argued that side.
I liked it, Steiny, when you sort of adjust the verbiage to be like the worst result happened, the worst scenario played out. But I just, and again, this is kind of how I approach injuries. I have the hardest time throwing our opinion in when we don't know what the bodies feel like, and we're not doctors, and I don't think the doctors are mean or stupid, and I don't think that they're flippant. And all of that. Like, you had a game. He felt good. He played.
Don't say he got hurt again. That's what I'm trying to argue with Steiny. He was dealing with something coming in. Took 2 weeks off and said he was ready.
So was he healthy on Sunday or not?
What is that?
Apparently
mean?
So. Brock Purdy. He was able to go.
Okay. So clearly he was more healthy Sunday than he is today.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, well, then something happened in the game which set him back in terms of the injury.
Or it's just a quick turnaround, Steiny, and he's like, you know what? I ain't got my normal week to get ready.
Right, but if it felt the exact same that it felt Saturday, then he'd probably play tomorrow.
Like, well, it's an inexact science.
Exactly.
It's always going to be.
I don't know what it is.
So I don't like saying that A to B. Like, you played, therefore, bad decision. It's like, look, there's always going to be a risk. And I'm a big believer in, fight through stuff.
And it's
fight
football.
Through stuff, man.
Who's healthy?
Yeah.
Honestly.
Like, okay, sure, you got a game 4 days later. That's going to make it tough. But, you know, Dibs is right. I don't think this question even gets asked if they're 4-0.
And I'll say this to all the people out there. I love you, and I love you guys. But in our world as fans or reporters or radio hosts, the way to do it is, obviously, division games mean more. Sit out against Jacksonville and you play the Rams because that game's way more. But they're telling you that's not how we look at it.
What if the 49ers simply chose, because you use this phrase all the time, why didn't the 49ers protect the player from himself?
I believe because the guy that was supposed to do that in Mac Jones was dealing with something to where he couldn't go. So that's just my two cents.
Does that
I
have
think
to do
that's
with Purdy?
Why they signed off on Brock Owen.
I just don't think you can protect football players.
I don't know what I mean.
Like so that, it can't be a bad look. I thought when Brock said that, I go, huh?
I mean, I guess it can be. That's to the eye of the beholder. I don't think it's a bad look. I think a football player tried to fight through. It's now hurting 4 days later. He's going to miss another game. It sucks. The 49ers are dealing with this all over the place. They've got a skeleton crew going to Thursday for a really, really hard game. And so now they're a massive underdog, and it stinks. But I just – it's a little too much of a cherry pick for me to just – like to keep doing the rearview mirror thing, which is, you know, somebody's in pain, and so now that means that it was a – that it was a wrong decision. You got to put your best foot forward every time you got a game on the schedule. And by the way, sitting out guarantees nothing also.
And that's where
it guarantees nothing.
And let's hope, though, that toe doesn't follow it.
Here's
the
bottom line. As Goo would say, though, when, what's his name, came at Pelissero, 2-5? Yeah. Who came out with a 2-5?
Rappaport.
Rappaport comes out with a 2-5, and I'm like, I don't, that doesn't really mean anything to me, whatever.
It's a big gap.
And it is a big gap, but at that time, we're talking about, boy, if it's 2-5, how careful do you want to be, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just saying, now there was that report out there that people subscribed to, and guess what? He came back after 2 weeks, but he also mentioned 5, so did they rush him back too soon? You can believe that they didn't.
But how do we determine
how does
it
anybody know? I mean,
exactly. I'm saying you, but I'm,
what I'm saying is the
results
the
are going to speak for themselves.
The conjecture of it to me is where it starts to be ridiculous because not a person, Pelissero, Rappaport, Steinmetz, Willard, Guru, Dibley, none of us has seen Brock Purdy's feet.
Right.
Now, I've seen Love Neal's feet, sadly, but I've never seen Brock Purdy's toe, and I'm not a doctor. So for me, I defer to the people who have seen it and the guy who actually is the possessor of the toe. And so, 2-5 from Rappaport, great. That's a nice wide range, and turned out he was right. It was 2-5, but with an injury like that, there's no cookie cutter, this is most likely what it's going to be.
Well, and there's also, like, no matter how much of an expert or doctor you are, like, we've all experienced this if you've played sports at any level, where you're like, it feels great. It's all, we're good.
Hello.
We're good, coach. It feels great. And then you go play at game speed. And it doesn't feel great anymore. But how the hell are you supposed to know that?
But how naive are we to be football fans to think these guys are 100%?
They never are.
You know how much work or people, Tom Brady's defenses, he's carved up Montana? All the ones banged up. Like, we're acting like you got to be 100% to go out there, and I think that's false.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app and now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. I have no interest in saying, oh, they made a mistake.
But we're looking for blame then. If you say it's a bad look.
I don't care about the blame. I only care about the result. And he was hurt for 2 games.
Yeah.
You brought him back for a game. He got hurt again, and now you must go down to L.A. without your starting quarterback in probably the toughest game of the year. So that may have made the game tomorrow more difficult because of the decision you made on Sunday. I'm not saying it was wrong, but there are very real ramifications for the fact that he played, and now we're not going to be able to see him, our best quarterback, play against the L.A. Rams. It has a consequence.
What if he waited the 5 weeks? Okay. It's 2-5.
I don't know.
He waits the 5 weeks, and then the same thing happens, and he gets hurt again. What then? Well, do we feel better because they waited the 5 weeks?
How about if I throw this out? How about if Mac plays last week, who also was less healthy than Brock, he really messes his knee up, then Brock plays tomorrow night, and he comes out sore.
Martinez.
And now, or whoever. My favorite calls are the ones who are like, hey, Martinez, what the hell are you talking about? Who is he? And don't give me, well, Brock was nobody once upon a time, too. That doesn't work. It doesn't mean that every third stringer is now going to be a star. And by the way, the 49ers did know coming out of camp that Brock was their best QB that year. They all said it. But politics did not allow them to start him right away. The thirst to see Adrian Martinez is hysterical.
Not over here.
It's hysterical.
UFL MVP last year. Put some respect on his name.
He's probably not going to be a Niner by next week.
Yeah, based on what you were talking about earlier, where you only get three practice squad elevations, and this is number three.
I'm with you to Stoney's point. Like, this is part of the territory. We've heard Baldy, former NFL players, Lo Neal, just talk about this injury and how it can follow you all season. So, Stoney, if you wanted them to wait 5 to 6 weeks, my point is this still still may have popped off and been your new reality is pain management.
You guys are missing the point.
And he finished
My point is that when we first hear that Purdy's injured, we always talk about, oh boy, well, when do you bring him back? When do you bring him back? You should probably be careful. He's the future. Okay, but a football guy's got to play. He's got to play.
Yeah.
So we talk about the consequences of playing a guy or not playing a guy, knowing absolutely nothing about how what percentage he is playing at. The 49ers made a decision to play Purdy. When was he questionable the week before Jacksonville? Up until what day?
He actually wasn't.
Yep.
And he was a full participant?
The official report comes out on Friday, he was not on it.
He was not on the injury report.
Right. Yeah, I think he was limited on the Wednesday practice, and then Thursday he was, I think, full, and then Friday he was not on the report.
Okay. So
Mac had an injury designation last week. Yeah.
Nevertheless, Brock Purdy was at a percentage that they felt comfortable putting him out there, whatever that was.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And now they're not going to have him for the Rams game. And I'm going to assume that the toe's worse than it was on
Sunday. Why would you assume that?
Because he played Sunday.
Doesn't mean that it's worse. I mean, you can make that assumption.
I mean, why would
you're
he play Sunday?
Whatever you want to
why
make.
Why would he play Sunday and not play tomorrow?
I think that's
unless
fair.
He got more hurt.
It could be as hurt as it was before. It could be slightly less hurt. We don't know.
Well, no, I'm going to go by what he has said. It's not as hurt as it was after Seattle.
He just played it.
But I don't think it feels as good as it did last Saturday. I think that's fair. That's what he's basically saying.
Well, I thought he was implying that it's more hurt than it was when he hurt it the first time.
It's actually the opposite. Like Brock clearly said, he stated yesterday, it's nowhere near as bad as how it felt after Seattle. But
so, yeah, he'll have 2 weeks between games if he plays in Tampa.
Right now, I can tell he thinks he's playing in Tampa.
Yeah.
Like he indicated that this is because it's a Thursday game. Yeah, I sort of take from that if it were a Sunday game, he'd probably have a shot to play. But, you know, again, all of these things are rolls of the dice. Like, what if we compared what the Niners did last week in playing him to what Purdy did on third down from the 2-yard line in Seattle? Okay? You have a field goal, you think, in your hip pocket. I know your kicker is
on his way out the door.
Yeah, your kicker is on a therapy couch.
Yeah.
But Brock rolls out to the right, and he sees Tonjes. The whole world thinks Tonjes is not open. And Brock, again, this all happens so fast, but it's a risk-reward play. Like, I'm going to throw it. I'm going to throw this thing up. It might get picked, might get knocked down. Who knows? Maybe it gets caught.
The completion probability was like 16%.
Right, but it happens, and so now we go, great decision. Now, same thing with what the Niners are doing. You might know that this is a little bit of a roll of the dice, but sure, you could get hurt again. You could win the football game. You could lose the football game. You could miss multiple weeks. You could miss one game. Everything is that decision in that moment. And this is just me, when it's pro sports, any sports, I'm a fan of, like, you got to roll the dice sometimes. You got to push it. You have to push it. It's like going for it on fourth down. And we want Kyle to do that more. Okay, did they push it? They probably felt like they didn't have a whole lot of a choice. I don't know. In the moment, to me, it makes sense. But, yeah, you're right that the worst possible outcome took place.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the worst. The worst would be Joe Burrow.
You know what I mean.
Well, the worst would have been season
with regard to tomorrow.
Right. I mean,
with regard to tomorrow, not the whole season.
For me, looking at tomorrow, I'm more fixated on what they're going to have at receiver, and they're going to have Kendrick Bourne, who has 8 catches.
DeMarcus Robinson.
1. Sky Moore, 1. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, 1. You've got 11 catches at the wide receiver position going into this game. So, no Ayuk. No Jennings, no Pearsall. Now, you got McCaffrey, so let's go ahead and get ahead of it now. Christian McCaffrey leads football in touches with 100.
Wow.
That's 25 a game. Are we all going to hold our breath
if he gets
37 touches in this game?
I'll go higher than 25 tomorrow.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And let's
They would have to have the ball, so I'm assuming that the Rams' defense is giving them the business.
They're
going
to have the ball. But let's just let's get ahead of it now, because if something were to happen to Christian McCaffrey – and he gets 33 touches and he gets hurt. Let's all be alarmist up front as opposed to after the fact.
I will say this.
Over 25 touches,
and
but no alarmist.
I don't want this to sound defeatist, because that's not how I look at tomorrow. I know tomorrow's it's a hell of a challenge.
I mean, man.
But I'm not defeatist about it. But if you're down by 21 in the second half, get him out of the game. How about Garendo? If you're down by 21.
What's going on with him?
I don't know.
0 offensive snaps.
Yeah.
He's a special teamer. But
and he's not very good at that.
Well, I mean, he's on coverage teams and the like, but he's not returning anymore, you noticed.
Yeah, because he's not very
Moore
good
show.
At it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to see Brian Robinson Jr. and McCaffrey on the field at the same time. Have McCaffrey just straight up play receiver.
I can't remember a Niner game where I felt like you got 2 chances, slim and none. And Evan pointed out the Green Bay game last year where they had Brandon Allen a couple
years. It was 3 minutes.
This is different, though. Everybody's hurt.
You'd like it to have a different outcome, but I feel you. And when we think about it, I think we all think about exactly what we're talking about, the offense. Oh, it's a backup quarterback. It's all backup receivers. It's a backup tight end. And what we're forgetting is that the 49er front four last week.
I'm with you.
Literally looked like they were running into a brick wall on every snap. And instead of Trevor Lawrence this time, it's Matt Stafford with his choice of Puka Nacua or Devontae Adams.
Stop, man.
How the hell are the Niners going to stop that tomorrow night?
That's real.
We can get into some of the advanced analytics 2-6 because the Niner defense, I think, is getting a bad rap. That's what the advanced numbers will show, but the spread is on the move, ladies and gentlemen.
It's like off the board rough. On my side.
7.5 now. DraftKings.
Over a touchdown.
Johnny
in the NFL,
Avella, right?
Is a straight disrespect of the opponent.
Well, the Browns beat Green Bay, but they got defense. The Niners' defense.
It's also a home game. Also a home game.
Well, this is home-ish for the Niners.
Ish.
And if you look at the history of Kyle Shanahan, they are exactly the same home and road. Not against the spread, but their record overall, but. Yeah, right now it's up to 7.5, and that came number moved when the receiver news broke. Yeah. It already jumped up because of the quarterback news, but now it's an extra point for the fact that your 2 receivers are not going to play.
It's like another point every hour now.
I got to check with Bonte on this regarding divisional games and whether they can be
anything other than divisional games. But the one thing the Niners have going for them is it's a trap game for the Rams. It's a trap game.
Please explain. No,
they're at home. Not. They're 7.5-point favorites.
No.
They're feeling good. Now,
you got the same record.
Had this not been a like,
why? Who are they looking ahead
Bonte,
to?
Bonte May.
I saw him this
morning. Have out like if who division games cannot be trap games, so it could be thrown out.
Line is,
it could be thrown out on
division
that games technicality.
Are tricky. Yeah, it was not even just
because those games are different.
By the way, that's not even just a divisional game. It's Rams Niners.
Yeah,
like this is a rivalry. Like this is this gets emotions going. The whole idea of a trap game is that you're emotionally sort
49ers
of not,
all banged up.
Yeah, but you're sort of emotionally not there. Now I'm looking Henry at the Rams. Allen. I'm looking at the Rams next game.
Who is it?
It's at Baltimore. However, Lamar Jackson's probably not playing in it.
Yeah.
So maybe that's
back to back trap games for the Rams.
And then they're not
playing a starting quarterback in the next 2 weeks.
They're looking ahead to the Jaguars in 2 weeks.
Can I do fantasy check? I'm 2-2. I'm feeling good about it.
I'm playing you.
Let's go.
I'm the last winless team in this league.
By the way,
I'm favored by about 30.
Well, I'll make some adjustments. I got some buys.
Okay.
Snotty, what's your record, baby?
I got another bad break this morning. I was all not excited. I hate it when players get injured.
Yeah.
But I had drafted Trey Benson. Conner thing, I was like, oh, I caught a break, and it lasted three quarters, and now Trey Benson's on IR. So.
Well, I got you.
I mean, it's week four. Everybody's 2-2. That's the way it
is.
Fantasy
football.
Not
me. It's one of you, baby.
I'm 2-2.
Look at
I got Grandy
go.
This week. Big win. It's a revenge spot after last year. He beat me by like 0.7
or something.
3-1. You want a side bet? I think I got you this week.
You know, I'm going to hold off. Because
speaking of side bets.
Yeah, they're telling us that.
Big win by the Chiefs.
You guys just want to take us out already.
Yeah. 2-2.
Yeah,
somebody needs to look at the standings and say, if the playoffs started today.
Prince had a song. You got that look.
Actually, let's look at that.
Look.
If the playoffs started
today.
Let's
not look at it
until we
would the Chiefs be in?
Give us one more week.
You'd have to go deep into the tiebreaker. Because right now there's.
But it's still early.
Jacksonville 3-1 would be the first
one. That means they're worried early.
I'm looking at deals.
No, I'm liking it early.
Yeah.
I'm not worried at all.
They
not
look
either.
Good, though. They got they
look better. They look better. And if you look at their schedule, you've got at the Bills, at the Broncos in back-to-back spots. That's not easy. And
don't they play Detroit coming up, too?
They do.
Yeah.
Detroit.
Ooh,
boy. Yeah.
They got Jacksonville this week. That's a trap game, Steiny.
Yeah. No, Jacksonville's going to be flat because they're coming off a sky-high win. Out here at Levi's Stadium.
Trevor Lawrence, man, he can pick you apart. Watch out for him.
When you have Cosell, let me get out of here.
Oh, dude, actually, the guest list is bananas.
Give it to us.
So, Cosell, yes, in exactly an hour. But how about?
Oh, I got to hear
him. How about Al Michaels in 15 minutes?
Come on.
Yeah.
And then
how
about Giants GM Zach Manassian at 3:45?
That's
what's happening.
What are you doing after 4?
Talking.
On 95.7 again.
Screaming about Kuminga.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.